So it's reminding our children about that importance of guarding our heart. If you had an opportunity to take that group with you everywhere you go this upcoming week, wouldn't that actually be a lot easier to guard your heart if you could just have that soundtrack in the background singing for you? Thank y'all. Thank y'all for singing this morning. That is a wonderful gift that you have given us. So rely on your memory to keep that voice, to keep them with you this upcoming week and in those moments that we do, that we feel like our hearts do need that extra guarding around us. I will tell you that this is going to be the second time that I've preached this sermon today. I was preaching the sermon the first time in my kitchen this morning, and my youngest child caught me preaching this morning. So I said, "I'm preaching." She said, "I know." And So you'll hear this for the second time that is here. But I am I'm particularly excited because I do want to, all of us have these different starting places, and that was my starting place for this morning. But you know, we do. We have these moments in our lives when we start in different places. We start a new job. We start a new school. We transition into a new place. Even parenting has this place where we have these new starts and these fresh starts. And for this month, what I want us to do is try to tap into that. If you can remember those times that you've gotten started, and particularly surrounding this with what does it mean to be a parent, and what does it mean to make the kind of parenting that we are called to do, to make that kind of parenting spiritual. And in fact, what I really would love to see us get to is that what does your heart have to say about it? What does your heart have to say about the parenting that you are involved in? And I will tell you, one of the first places that I started and really revealed something not only in my heart, but the hearts of the people that I was around, was really one of the first opportunities that I had in ministry. One of the first real chances that I had in ministry is that I went to be a youth pastor at a church. It's not too far from here. It's a church that is in Warrior. It's just right up the interstate, up 65 North. And I was in college at the time, and there was a church that I was invited to come and to meet with the leaders of the church there and to be a youth pastor. Now, this is a fairly small church, so imagine fifth graders all the way through 12th grade. So that was going to be it. And so I went with never having done this before. And the church leaders looked at me and said, "Well, you know, you've never been a youth pastor before. We've never paid anybody to be a youth pastor before." And so that was the invitation that I had as I went there. And so I knew, you know, the other part about being this youth pastor is that the senior pastor at the time was going to seminary at Emory in Atlanta. So what his schedule was like is that he would be there on Saturday and Sunday, and Monday through Friday, he would be at Emory. He would be over in Atlanta, and he would be in school there. And so on Wednesday nights, it was a great deal of freedom, but they never let me get in front of the adults. But on Wednesday nights, I would get to meet with these fifth graders all the way through 12th graders. And so you know that idea about the guy that's holding the hammer? You know, everything looks like a nail. Every problem that you have, every challenge that you have, it looks like a nail. That's what I took with me. I said, "Well, because my senior pastor's gone to Atlanta during this week, we're going to meet in the sanctuary. We're going to meet in the big place in the church. We're going to meet in the sanctuary." And I also, holding that hammer, I knew that these 5th through 12th graders, that they were going to be incredibly inspired by my 3-point sermon that I was going to construct and I was going to put together. Start with an introduction, give them 3 points, and then end with a conclusion. But I was really cool. I was really cool and I was really edgy because I didn't stand in the place like this. You know what I did? I found me a little music stand that's just like this. I don't know if y'all have had much experience up here or much experience in any church, but you are going to find a music stand that wobbles. And so I would find the music stand that wobbles, and I put it right in front of those pews, and nobody had the courage to sit where Rick and Leslie are sitting this morning. Nobody had the courage to sit on the front pew. They all sat in the back pew, and I did my 3-point sermon. I did my introduction, I did my conclusion with my wobbly music stand that was there. They sat there, they were nice and they were polite, never smiled, never cracked anything with me like that. And then, after doing this for a few weeks, one of these kids comes up to the side of me and says, "Hey, you think we can go to Taco Bell? And do you think we can eat?" And I said, "Well, sure, we can go to Taco Bell and we can eat." And this church, who had never had a youth pastor, me, who had never been a youth pastor before, this church had enough courage to give me the keys to the church van. Now, for every trustee that is sitting in this room right now, and for anybody that has been responsible for church vans before, I will tell you that I took that church van back to the parsonage, and I parked it next to the parsonage, and it was out of gas, it was dirty, and it also had low tire pressure. That's what I would do. I would drive it up there, and I would park it there. So I was responsible, so everyone that's a trustee, I was responsible for making those decisions like that. Well, one of the things for this, I'm a preacher and I love to tell stories too, as you're seeing this morning. But one of the things that I discovered as I was sitting at that table with those 5th through 12th graders at Taco Bell is that's when they started to smile. That's when they started to open up. That's when they started to talk a little bit more. And what I never could have ever imagined in my life, in my role as being in the sanctuary with my senior pastor who was gone, is that as soon as we got outside of the sanctuary, as soon as we got away from church and we sat down at the table, that's when all of a sudden what I was able to hear is I started to hear what makes them happy. I started to hear on the other side of that, not just what makes them happy, but I started to hear what scares them. I started to hear what they wanted to do. I also got to hear really loud and clear, as you know, 5th through 12th graders will do, what they were never going to do, what they were not going to do. I've been far enough to remove from this that some of those kids I've said, "I will never do this," they have actually done that, and those are good things that they've done. But also, that's when I got to hear who they love, and also who they know loves them. You know, the scripture reading for today, and I want to invite you, it's going to be a single verse, but I want to invite you into this verse. Well, the verse is in Proverbs. That is that school of wisdom. It is that school of knowledge that we have contained in our Bibles, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. This is from the New International Version. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And I can promise you, because what I was showing our children is also what I do. In those moments when it is so hard to guard my heart, I do that same thing. It is not just that that's something that I was teaching our kids. It's something that's come directly from me. It's one of those things that I have done. For me, when I found myself outside of the church, when I was a young college student, not having any idea what to do in ministry, having even less knowledge about what happens in a church and what truly happens when the Holy Spirit fills the people of God in a church, I was privileged enough to hear the hearts of those 5th through 12th graders. And I mean, one of those things about it is that what I was describing to you, and I saw some of your smiles, and I think because you already know this, as parents, as teachers, as friends, as people in churches, it is extraordinarily hard talking to kids. Even harder to know what's going on in their hearts, to know what's happening. Because, I mean, there are a lot of conversations that we can have with kids. There are a lot of conversations that we can have that is what we just start off with, "Well, how's it going?" And you know this. You know what a child will respond. "Well, it's going fine." And then it's like, "You like school?" And then that inevitable, "Yeah." And then, "What grade are you in?" And then you just fill in the blank. And then it's the end of the conversation. And then we sort of nod in this awkward silence and then walk away. Gary Smalley wrote this book that's called The Key to Your Child's Heart. And he says this particularly about parenting. Again, it's Gary Smalley that says this. But he says, parenting isn't about shaping behavior. It's about building a lasting heart connection. And then he further goes on. He continues this idea with this. God designed parents to be heart shapers and not just rule givers. And if you go all the way back, if you go all the way back to the very beginning of the Hebrew Scriptures, if you go back to the very existence of our world, the very existence of creation, you know, there's that moment where God has created Adam and Eve, shaped them out of the dust of the earth, breathes life into their nostrils. We know this part, places them in a garden. It is a garden that is idyllic as the Garden of Eden. And we know about their sin. We know about their disobedience. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, in Genesis 3, 21, after the disobedience, after the sin of Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 reminds us of this. The Lord God made tunics of animal skins for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Imagine the power in the midst of sin. Imagine the power in the midst of disobedience of our God, who begins to provide clothing and begins to shape and to form clothing to cover Adam and Eve, who have eaten the forbidden fruit and who have suddenly become aware of how vulnerable they are in the presence of God. And God made their clothes. God begins to shape their hearts after they have broken the rule. As parents, that is vital for us to know. Is to know what makes our children happy. It's vital to know what makes them sad. It's vital for us to know why they are happy, why they are sad. It's a wonderful book that Simon Sinek wrote several years ago. It says, Start With Why. And he talks about communication. He talks about the way that there's day-in, day-out communication. But in this book that's called Start With Why, he says that a lot of what we communicate, a lot of the communication that we have, so much of our communication says what we want or what we're going to do. What we want to do or what we're going to do. And then it's like we move into this next place of how we're going to do it. So what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And then maybe or maybe not, we get to that final question about asking, well, really, why are we going to do this? And I will tell you, this is one of those things as a parent, this is one of those things that is harder and harder for me to do, even in my own communication. Because what Simon Sinek will say, he said, what would happen if before we get into the what we're going to do, before we get into how we're going to do it, what if we start with why? What if we reverse that? What if we started with that why question? I mean, it is. It's so hard for me. Because imagine that. Imagine that you come in. Experience I've had just this past week as school goes back. But imagine those experiences that we have about picking up shoes. That's the what. You need to pick up your shoes. And you need to do that right now. And then the why? Well, because I said so. What happens if we reverse that? What happens if we begin to have conversations with all of those people that we love and that we care about? Let's start with why. Because what Sinek will remind us is that once we really think about why, that starts to reveal our motive and our purpose. Now, it's no guarantee that this shift is going to immediately make us wonderful parents, but it is a very good start. Imagine what would happen when we start with why in our parenting. And then imagine the kind of power that we could have when we also guard our own hearts with that why. Seeing ourselves as parents and neighbors and friends as heart shapers. And not just parents just saying what we want to do, when we want it to happen. I mean, how many of you remember the people that were around you that really took that time and were really intentional about shaping your own heart? I mean, we do. We all have these different places where we start. But how many of you remember those people that shaped your own heart? You know, for many of our kids that are right around us, they started school this past week. For a lot of them, it was a brief week. It was a short week. This upcoming week is going to be the much harder, the much tougher week. This is going to be the full week, the Monday through Friday. I can tell you from personal experience that Thursday and Friday for my kids was enough to wipe them out and completely make them completely tired. But this is going to be the week. This is going to be the week that a lot of them are going to face an entire week in their new classes and with their new friends and the people that I moved in and all this kind of stuff. And I remember my first day in ninth grade and going into the lunchroom. Now, I had an experience. I did not have the advantage of having older siblings that were able to tell me everything about high school, but it was my very first day of school for me, first day of ninth grade, was my very first time in the lunchroom. And I had my money, and I was the kind of kid that had checked to make sure that I had my money three different times before I left my house, and then twice while I was standing in line to make sure I had my money to pay. Now, in all that checking and all that preparation, I never knew that when I paid for my tray and that when I got my change and put my change into my pocket, into my right pocket, because that's where change goes and that's where it still goes when I have change. It goes on my right side. I never knew that I had a hole in that pocket. And so all those coins that lunchroom person had given to me quickly hit the floor. Now, lucky for me, I was surrounded by some really good friends that were still standing in line who had not gotten their lunch trays yet. And those really good friends that are still standing over there look over at me and say, "Eddie, you better pick up that money." And they start immediately laughing at me and say, "Pick up that money." And I look at them, look at the money on the ground, and then all of a sudden see the tallest upperclassman that I have ever seen in my life. Now, I know that I was inside the cafeteria, but it seemed in that moment that he was tall enough to block the sunshine that was there in that lunchroom. And he cast a shadow over me as he bent down to immediately start to pick up every single coin that was on the ground. To which my supportive friends that were over there said, "Oh, Eddie, it's too late now. Somebody else is getting your money." And with him picking up one by one by one, I don't know. In my mind, it must have been 99 cents that fell on the ground, and it must have been paid in a lot of pennies and a lot of nickels. That's the way that I remember it. But he had a handful of change, and he stood up next to me. And he placed it in my hand, and he said, "Don't be afraid to pick up your money." Turned around and walked away. He's someone that shaped my heart, because his heart had been shaped into compassion that I had never experienced or never seen before. Why do we guard our hearts? Well, the Bible reminds us, because from everything, all of our life, it flows from our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we give you thanks on this day. We give you thanks for the many ways that you have shaped and that you have molded our hearts. And we give you thanks for the people that have been around us. We thank you for the starts that we have had in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for the ways that you sustain us throughout our days. Lord, help us to guard our hearts. And the power of God, let us, O God, guard each of our hearts, knowing that from our very hearts is where everything that we do flows. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.